The Red Eye Radio podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. All right, you want to hear this?
I don't know.
Want to hear this? I can't even call this a Chris Matthews meltdown. I just call it a flat outright lie.
Yeah, okay.
You ready for this?
All right.
Chris Matthews on MSNBC from yesterday. Here we go.
And tonight we know President Trump's very first reaction to the appointment of a special counsel in 2017 was as dramatic as it was revealing. That moment of political terror captured in Mueller's report today showed a president realizing how much his life of cutting corners could now be coming back to haunt him. Trump said, "Oh my God, this is terrible. This is the end of my presidency. I'm effed." That reaction certainly rings true in light of the news today that special counsel Robert Mueller believed he had a case of obstruction of justice against President Trump. Despite abundant evidence, Mueller declined to prosecute, however, because of his view that a sitting president should not be indicted nor even officially accused while in office.
That's a lie.
False. That's wrong.
That's an absolute lie. I mean, what?
It is wrong.
It doesn't matter.
No,
just
no,
lie.
No, no.
I'll just lie. I'll make up stuff as I go along.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just amazing. Don't even know where to go from there. I just happened to see that audio cut. I'm like, wow, you got to be kidding me. Really now.
From the report, in our view, the application of the obstruction statutes would not impermissibly burden the president's performance of his Article II function to supervise prosecutorial conduct or to remove inferior law enforcement officers. But then they go on to point out that and the protection of the criminal justice system from corrupt acts by any person, including the president, accords with the fundamental principle of our government that, quote, no person in this country is so high that he is above the law, end quote. The point being is that it wasn't about the fact that he was a sitting president.
No.
It was the fact that he had nothing. Mueller had zero.
Because the only reason that Mueller existed was to see if you could get to the president or anybody else in the campaign who broke the law.
Right.
I mean, it's just delusional. We'll just out and outright lie.
Yep. Make it up as we go along.
Wow. Just amazing. I mean, I'm not surprised. It's just so blunt.
Right.
And confident.
Look, Mueller was reaching. There's no doubt. We demonstrated right in the last hour how far we believe he was reaching with the help of Alan Dershowitz and his analysis on the whole intent side of it and the idea of punishing thought when you have no crime. So it's very clear that they were on a mission. But frankly, they were bound by the letter of the law when it comes to obstruction. I'm convinced they were bound by the letter of the law, and that's why they tried every avenue when it came to the Trump Tower meeting with the Russian lawyer Veselnitskaya sitting down with Trump Jr. Oh, could that have been, had there been valuable information? Opposition research that Veselnitskaya, dirt on Hillary, that Veselnitskaya gave to Trump Jr. and the campaign benefited, that could have risen to campaign finance violation.
Because you didn't report the value of that
you
on
didn't.
Your...
My gosh. Wow. Well, I mean, I don't know. What about the collective of legitimate, not the Russians who did this on social media, but legitimate Trump supporters collectively on social media. Is that a campaign contribution by Twitter or Facebook?
Ah, it's a great point.
Because in terms of propaganda, there's plenty of it out there by Americans. You know, what did they come down to on the numbers on the Russian bogus ads and all that? I think one number was like somewhere around 100,000. I thought, my gosh, you're not even getting out of the gate on a presidential campaign with $100,000. Are you kidding me? Tim Ryan has probably already raised more than $100,000.
Well, maybe not.
Maybe not. But Julian Castro, okay, maybe not. But others may have. But the idea is that there's plenty of, if you were going to go down that road, can you imagine what they could come up with? Ah, this was valuable to the campaign. It served in favor the campaign.
It ended up being exactly what we thought it was going to be, mm-hmm. because we could never figure out how do you get to obstruction of justice. Well, they were trying to make obstruction of justice just a thought crime.
Right.
And couldn't succeed at doing that. They were trying to make the Trump meetings, trying to see if they could make that a campaign finance. You should see me reading that part of it today. I'm like, what are they talking about? How can you make this a campaign finance? Because the information might have benefited if there was information, opposition research information on Hillary Clinton that would have helped the Trump campaign, there would be a certain value assigned to that. But since there was no information, and probably they wouldn't be able to ascertain what that information would be worth, therefore they could not figure out the value, they decided not to go down that road. Because you're a bunch of idiots. That's why.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I read that. I just went, wow. And to me, it was exactly what you and I, it's exactly what you and I have been talking about since the 4-page report came out, and what we've been talking about for over the last year. That number one, we couldn't identify what collusion was. Number two, identify the crime, the specific crime of obstruction of justice. How was it obstruction of justice? Lay it out to us. And the only thing that they could possibly lay out, or not get into specifics, but sort of float around the area, is the fact of, well, we'll be punishing the thought behind the illegal action of the president. Well, that's never going to fly in a federal court. That'd been blown out of a federal court. And could you imagine? Look, there were two roads for him to go down. There was two roads that I view that Mueller had. One road was to destroy his entire career. Mm-hmm. And I mean completely destroy his career by trying to, by suggesting indicting a president even after, because if you indict, if you say we should indict the president would be impeached at that point.
Right.
And then after the president is impeached, then he would be tried, and that would be blown out of federal court so quickly, and Mueller would go down in history as the biggest hack of a special counsel who successfully brought down a president who was impeached and kicked out of office on a bogus charge.
Yeah, right.
Or the Republicans might have laughed it off and said, no way are we removing a president for something as bogus as this, and go ahead and try to bring it up after he's out of office. Because maybe at that point he might not have won election in 2020 because of it. And then they would have tried to bring it up against him. Could you imagine when those charges are dropped, at that point? So he knew he probably could never. He knew the chances he was taking if he was suggesting an indictment on that. And so what was his only recourse? Was his only recourse to walk away with nothing? I spent 2 years and got nothing, especially when he had attorneys and maybe even himself that was trying to find any type of possible crime on Trump, and they just couldn't come up empty-handed after 2 years. So I decided to leave this big carrot, this political carrot out there, and say, well, we're not going to follow the normal prosecutory standards or the prosecutory paths that we're supposed to go down And so we won't make a judgment. We'll let the attorney general do it, knowing that would leave that huge political animal out there to debate over the next few years. And he would be viewed as a hero. He'd be able to get out of this unscathed and just disappear.
Right.
Because what's the other reason? The only reason as a prosecutor that you exist, the only reason is to suggest indictments.
Well, and you think about
either
what
indict
or
not indict.
The other effect would be too, laying it in the lap of Barr, knowing full well that
what the politics was.
Barr would likely not pursue obstruction for the same reason, fundamentally, that you didn't suggest it be pursued, that there's nothing there, but you knew politically there was going to be fallout on Barr. And what have we seen in the recent weeks? Since the weekend that Mueller finished, we've seen the liberal media doing nothing but, and it continues today, it ramped up today as we expected, the attack on the credibility of Attorney General Barr. Make it about him. Why do you do that?
Because you know it's coming down the pipe.
You know what he is going to find in the future. Attack the messenger. Make sure there's no credibility. So when he issues, oh my gosh, wait a minute. The difference will be is if he finds crimes, there will be indictments. How do you respond to that?
Yeah. Well, like I said, bring it on. As far as people, we've had quite a few responses today. Well, we should let it go and get back to governing. Well, look, stop. Let's stop living in a fantasy world. Politics is politics. It's going to continue. I think everybody in Congress should do exactly what they think they should do, and the people of the United States can figure out, you know, when it comes to election time, you know, what to do, and the criminal justice system will continue here on that side. If the Democrats want to go and half of them still want to scream impeachment, and the other halves want to continue an investigation on the president for obstruction of justice, go down that path.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yep.
Do it. And then Republicans, you respond and you do exactly what you think you should be doing and keep going down the path that you're going down, which is let's investigate this entire thing.
Yep.
Eventually, we'll get to the whole truth. And we're getting to the whole truth now, by the way. We got a lot out of the Mueller. There was a lot that came out today.
Yes.
We found out what Mueller was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
We found out that they were trying to figure out, as Dershowitz said, they were trying to figure out thought crimes. Can we find thought crimes? Can we take something and expand it to the total absurdity of a campaign finance crime? Well, you know, if the Russian attorney had some information for Trump Jr. And would have given it to him, well, that would have been of value that they didn't report. That would have been of value, and they didn't report that. So there's a possible campaign finance, finance crime there, except the fact of... they didn't exchange information, and even if they did, we probably couldn't ascertain what that value would be. I mean, it's just to the point of being bizarre, because then you're saying that the federal government is looking at any opposition research or any tip that you get as a campaign donation.
Right.
I mean,
well,
it's
what
just,
is next?
And that's the bizarre route that they were going down. So it was actually a very, very good day, because we found out what the prosecution was trying to do. And we found out how gutless they were at the end, and then set up this premise that, well, we decided not to go down the normal prosecutorial road here and not make a decision.
Yeah.
What? What are you talking about?
We decided, and that's what's bizarre. Because we determined not to make a traditional prosecutorial judgment.
Why?
That's the whole purpose.
Well, actually, you did. What you said was we're going to hand it off to the Attorney General to do it.
Right. We're going to wash our hands of it. We're going to leave it hanging over the administration's head. Because we have nothing. And that's it. They came up with zero. They stretched it. They were bound by the letter of the law, and they couldn't get it done. Oh, they tried.
A line open if you'd like to get in. We'd love to hear from you. 866-90-RED-EYE.
As spring sets in, it's a good idea to inspect your truck for damage done during winter. Between severe temperatures, snowfall, and the salt spray used to clear our roadways, corrosion is a common result of the colder months. Fortunately, corrosion is fairly easy to spot when you know what to look for. Check any exposed metal components for orange or red flaking or signs of rust, which indicate corrosion is present. It's important to remove and treat these areas as soon as they're discovered, but especially during the transition to spring, as warmer temperatures can speed up the corrosive process. Add this check to your pre- and post-trip inspections to help avoid dealing with any issues on the road. If you discover corrosion beyond your control, stop by a TA truck service near you and let one of our technicians take a look.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-824-SHOP.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. If you'd like to get in, let's talk to Dwayne in Indiana. Dwayne, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, thanks for having me on and taking my call. I've got it. I'm trying to get my mind off of what we knew was coming out of this report today, and having the media like rehash it to us. But I can't help but think, who in their right mind at a federal level is going to want to be involved in politics after seeing this happen? You know, I never expected Trump to win, and I voted for him, I'd admit, and I would like to see other people come along and get involved. I like what he's doing with the border, and I like the cleverness of saying, okay, you know, then why don't you all who are against me help me out by taking these people off our hands? But anybody with any brains or cleverness or business savvy or anything, why or who would want to take on
that's why it's important, and that's why we will not stop.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Pushing to get to the truth in all of this, because that's how you solve the problem, by weeding out the dirt, by finding, you know, who's dirty and exposing who is dirty. You find out why this happened. Byron York for the Washington Examiner wrote a thing yesterday about, you know, Trump saying 2 years of BS that had gone on. But he makes the point, as it should be made, and we'll make it coming up following the bottom of the hour, that everything, even the obstruction of justice case, all comes down to a completely false, fake story that was peddled against a presidential a candidate, and then a president of the United States, and it was completely and totally false. It was peddled by our intelligence agencies, the FBI, the Department of Justice, and the media. And so he said, you know, we've got the obstruction of justice, but remember, obstruction of justice doesn't happen unless the fake story had been peddled for years.
Yep, it is the, you know, the interesting part of it. One of the things to watch yesterday was this bizarre question that came from the media in the room.
Oh yeah,
when Attorney General Barr was asked by a reporter, you know, talking about certain things. They started, the liberal media was accusing him, Barr, of, even Chris Wallace said it, he sounded more like the personal attorney and counselor for the president than he did the attorney general of the U.S., because he was talking about, you know, what the president had gone through, how this has, you know, affected him. He talked about that. But what's different here is, it would have been one thing if Barr had come out in the wake of findings of criminal activity by the president and then done that. But we're talking about the attorney general, who I think had plenty of reason and justification to talk about the effect on a sitting president, because that is very different than the person. Keep in mind, the media had their focus on the person that is Donald Trump. Keep your eye on the ball. We're talking about the office of the president.
I also think the attorney general is privy to a lot of what happened in the FBI, the Department of Justice, and everything that led to this.
Yes.
And he views that as extremely dirty and unprecedented in American politics.
Yeah. listening to Red Eye Radio from the Pilot Flying J Studios.
And he's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Just want to read a couple of paragraphs here from Byron York's column in the Washington Examiner. And it's a headline, Mueller, Trump, and 2 years of BS. And he actually uses the word.
Yeah, right.
And it's something that Trump had sent to a bunch of congressional representatives when one of them asked him a couple of months ago what he thought of it. And he writes here, and not reading the whole thing, but just parts of it, at its heart, and this is so important, there's nothing more important than this because it goes back to 2 years and 3 months ago. And we cannot forget what the genesis was. We've got very short memories, and we focus on what today is, and we forget about what started this entire thing and how it snowballed. At its heart, the Trump-Russia probe was about one question. Did the Trump campaign conspire, coordinate, or collude with Russia to influence the 2016 election? Mueller has concluded that did not happen. Everything else in the Trump-Russia affair flows from that one question. Paul Manafort's shady finances would not have come under investigation were it not for that question. Carter Page would not have been wiretapped were it not for that question. Michael Flynn would not have been interviewed by the FBI were it not for that question. Zillions of hours of cable TV would not have been expended on Trump Russia were it not for that question. And in the largest sense, there would have been no Mueller investigation were it not for that question. And now Mueller has determined there was no collusion. Not that there was no criminal collusion or no proof beyond reasonable doubt conclusion, just no collusion. Mueller's report says it over and over again. Here are some examples. The investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. The investigation examined whether contacts between Russia and Trump figures involved or resulted in coordination or a conspiracy with the Trump campaign in Russia, including with respect to Russia providing assistance to the campaign in exchange for any sort of favorable treatment in the future. Based on all available information, the investigation did not establish such coordination. The investigation did not establish that Carter Page coordinated with the Russian government in its efforts to interfere with the 2016 election. The office did not identify evidence that those contacts between Russians and people around Trump after the GOP convention of coordination between the campaign and the Russian government. The office did not identify evidence of a connection between Manafort's sharing polling data and Russia's interference in the election. And the investigation did not establish that Manafort otherwise coordinated with the Russian government on its election interference efforts. The investigation did not establish that these contacts between Russians and people around Trump during the transition reflected or constituted coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia in its election interference activities. The investigation did not identify evidence that any U.S. persons conspired or coordinated with the Russian disinformation campaign. This is definitive. It's not kinda, sorta. It is definitive. As far as Mueller's conclusions are concerned, and remember, he was long considered the gold standard of Trump investigations, there was no collusion. The Mueller report is divided into two volumes. Volume 1 covers the collusion question. Volume 2 considers whether the president obstructed the investigation. But of course, there would have been no obstruction investigation had there not been the collusion allegation to begin with. Remember what this investigation was all about. It was about something that never happened. And that should matter now that Mueller has finished his work.
You know, it is mind-boggling, but it does make sense when you, again, pair the mindset of even critical thinkers with activism. When we go back to the late Ed Schultz, who said, you know, do anything. Democrats, you got to do anything to win an election. You got to lie. You got to do anything, all of it, to win. You just have to win. You go back to the whole Sandman incident and the media getting burned on that one. And Whoopi Goldberg, of all people, asking on The View, you know, why does this keep happening to people on the left? Why does this keep happening essentially to our side is what she was asking. And Joy Behar said, you know, why do we keep going even though we know, you know, why would you do that even though when you know it's not true? And Joy Behar just put it bluntly, because we want them out of office. When your hatred and for a person and your activism has you setting aside your critical thinking ability, that's one thing in the court of public opinion. But when it has people of power taking that power and using it in unprecedented ways against U.S. citizens in an effort to ruin their lives, that is something much, much more dangerous.
Understand that there was propaganda and disinformation, false information peddled for over 2 years, carried by the media, almost every Democrat politician, for over 2 years and 3 months, of something that never, ever happened. Ever.
Yeah.
The FBI, the Department of Justice, and the highest levels of intelligence operatives in the United States and in the Obama administration were involved in distributing and passing on and funding all of that false information that came, we're told, from the Russians. You saw the media's response to it yesterday. You think they're really concerned about Russian collusion or Russian interference in our elections? We have it right there for you. Christopher Steele got his information that was, we now know, all was false. All this thing, everything that came out of it was false. None of it ever happened. Forget about just, as York points out, not just criminal collusion, no collusion at all. No cooperating, no collusion, nothing, not even legal. Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing was there. It was peddled for over 2 years. You want collusion? Did you see everybody on the CNN and MSNBC going crazy yesterday? You see Chuck Todd?
Yep.
All of those members there. You see, we played the audio cut from, what's his name, Chris Matthews, just absolutely just lying.
Right. Making it up.
About what happened. Those are activists. They're not journalists.
No.
They went crazy yesterday because their narrative is not being met. They don't care about truth. Stop. And anybody out there, stop asking or stop saying, well, maybe they've learned their lesson now and they'll go back to journalistic standards. They won't. They're not journalists. They've never been journalists. They don't wish to be journalists. They don't care if they get caught in a lie. They don't care if they lie today. They don't care if they lie tomorrow. They don't care if they lie next week, because they're not about telling you the truth. They're about pushing a particular political narrative to get to their political point. They don't care about the truth. Do not call them journalists. They're not. They're political activists is what they are. Truth does not matter to them. And you want an example? Look at yesterday. Look at them trying to hang on to any type of rope. Look at them, life rope. Look at them try to change the narrative. Move the goalpost. Continually trying to do it because their goal is not to get to the truth. You want Russian collusion? It's staring right in front of you. Russian collusion for the election? Kimberly Strassel pointed it out. We pointed out many times. Mueller didn't go down the road to the FISA warrant. Didn't go down to where the biggest, where we know, where we've been told, where we've been told by a Democrat operative, Christopher Steele, that the information came from the false information, all came from the Russians, that the Democrats, the media, and the Obama administration used in an attempt to destroy the Trump campaign. And when they couldn't do that, then destroyed the legitimacy of the 2016 election. Nobody argues that point with us. We get zero debate. We get people, as we did today, try to get around the fringes.
Well, maybe it obstructed justice by doing that, or maybe the Mueller report is incomplete.
You're hanging on because you got nothing.
Yeah.
But it's sitting out there right there. We know where the big Russian influence was. What was a bigger Russian influence on the election? Was it $100,000 worth of ads on Facebook, or was it the dossier?
They spent more on the dossier.
They spent more on the dossier. $160,000.
Yeah. They spent 60% more on the dossier.
And the Democrats out there, well, you guys need to take seriously the fact that the Russians attempted to destroy and mess up our elections. Yeah, we know. Dossier.
Yep, we know that.
You don't seem to care about that.
We know the Americans actually that we're working with them.
Yeah, we know that. In fact, the Democrats that claim that they care about it were the ones that carried the water for the Russians.
Yes. Yep.
Tell us where we're wrong.
And who was discounting that?
Somebody tell us what we're... Unless Christopher Steele and the media that have identified who they believe Christopher Steele was talking to, unless they created that lie too, and it was just a lie that Christopher Steele came up with on his own.
Right.
Otherwise, it was false disinformation propaganda that came from the Russians that the FBI used, the CIA used, the Department of Justice used, members of the Obama administration used, and wanted as widely disseminated as possible to try to destroy the legitimacy of the 2016 election. You want a scandal? It's right in front of you. Everybody knows it. Nobody is denying the actual facts around it either.
And after Mueller is done, they continue with the same set of lies.
It really is quite amazing that the elephant the size of the universe is sitting in the living room and just being ignored.
Yep.
And it's not a conspiracy theory.
No.
Everybody knows it. That's the thing.
Because
everybody knows it's right there.
And the left knows once they engage, especially in the media, once they engage in that discussion, that the facts, documents will destroy anything they have to say against it.
But I encourage Democrats to keep going down the net, keep going.
Sure.
Give the Republicans every incentive to investigate the whole thing. Go ahead. Keep being as loud as possible. The last thing I want to do is shut anybody up from the left. Chris Matthews, continue. Make your lie bigger on tonight's show on MSNBC. Make the lie bigger.
That's it.
Go for it.
Molly Hemingway, the Federalist, yesterday's talking about her friends that were saying, hey, this doesn't change anything. We still want him impeached. And she said, well, you guys don't understand. We want you to go down that road.
Yeah.
You want to empower his base?
Go for it.
You want to expand his base?
Go for it.
Keep it up.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. I wonder whether this will be a week or a week from now.
You know, that's a good question. Did it seem to have yesterday morning? I think, but then yesterday afternoon and evening, it didn't have the energy that I thought it was still going to have. I suspect it will going into the weekend because the Sunday morning news shows it will be Easter Sunday, but nonetheless, they will be covering it. where does it go from there is the question. Because another event would have to happen. I mean, you're going to, what are you going to do?
Yeah, there's no events going to happen.
You're
going to
bring on a legal expert to again say, no, we believe he's guilty of obstruction and we believe that this clearly points it out. You're going to do that and get into the minutia again and again and again and again every evening on CNN? Probably not. Now, Trump does bring the ratings, but the question would be, what hope is there? Because if you're on the left and you hate Trump, you were hoping that there would be something that would help remove him from office. Is that hope still in play? Probably not.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary, he's Eric. In the news today,
the special counsel report outlines two main efforts by the Russian government to influence the 2016 election. First, the report details efforts by the Internet Research Agency, a Russian company with close ties to the Russian government, to sow social discord among American voters through disinformation and social media operations. The special counsel's report did not find that any person associated with the Trump campaign illegally participated in the dissemination of the materials. After reviewing these contacts, the special counsel did not find any conspiracy to violate U.S. law involving Russian-linked persons and any persons associated with the Trump campaign. Indeed, as the report states, quote, the investigation did not identify evidence that any U.S. person knowingly or intentionally coordinated with the IRA's interference operation, unquote. Put another way, the special counsel found no collusion by any Americans in IRA's illegal activities. The Deputy Attorney General and I concluded that the evidence developed by the special counsel is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense.
There you go.
Yep. It was interesting watching the media react yesterday, both in that room after he was done making the statement, and then on the air afterward. They essentially lost it. That's the best way to put it. You know, we've often talked about how they act like children, and they react. Very reactive. You saw the reporter that was asking, well, you seem to be giving the president a lot of cover here, and she focused on the word unprecedented. The attorney general said, well,
has this ever happened before?
Has this ever happened before? No. Well, then it's unprecedented. That's the word to use. Never happened before. And so they just couldn't wrap their brain around it. But this has been the reaction from, well, from day one since you won. In November of 2016, the morning after. Do you need a clear demonstration of how they just couldn't believe it and they throw tantrums? Her name is Hillary Clinton. She was throwing a tantrum that night when she lost, and everybody who voted for her did the same. And they're still throwing tantrums. It's about this disbelief. How in the world could that happen? We were told by the media, she's going to win. Then on top of that, wow, salt in the wound. She won the popular vote. How is it? How did that happen? There must be, well, see, there were already people at work before the election. We know that now. Trying to make sure. They had a, remember, Gary, they had what? An insurance policy. Which was what? The dossier. Bogus information from Russians. Gary, if Richard Branson finally gets it to where we can set up a colony on Mars, right? And light years from now, they discover time travel. And they come back and visit Earth and sit right now at this point in time in our history and look at this going, wait a minute, are you, you're saying that people colluded with Russians to make it look like someone else colluded with Russians? Yeah. Then they did an official investigation to that end. You can actually show where the other side actually did collude with Russians, and there's nothing there from the initial investigation. No, no, they had to get to that 2 years later. It would just blow someone's mind. It is bizarre to look at this entire landscape over the last 2 years and see it for what it is and the denial by people because they simply can't wrap their head still today around the fact that he won.
And when you see the, and it was lined out, we had read some of the transcript of Alan Dershowitz, the liberal civil rights lawyer who pointed out, you know, where Mueller was going. It's obvious now. I mean, we now know where Mueller was going, that he was trying to figure, and he believes that that Trump and his intent, the thought crime, that it's a thought crime that he was going after because he could fire Comey.
Mm-hmm.
Constitutionally, he can fire Comey. That is under the Constitution. There was no original crime to begin with. As we stated last hour, remember, this original, the investigation came from what? The investigation came solely on the fact of did Trump or anybody in his campaign collude with the Russians to hack the election. That's what it was about. And then it became change the outcome of the election or involved in colluding, conspiring to change the outcome of the 2016 election. Everything else that has come from that, from this came from that one question. So we get to obstruction of justice, and we know that Mueller has said there is no original crime. None.
Right.
We weren't sure in the intent of the president. The president maybe wanted to obstruct justice. Yeah, but there was no original crime to obstruct the justice of. And he didn't break any law with his behavior. So there is no corrupt criminal intent of breaking any law. The only thing you can be punishing is the thought behind his behavior. That the behavior itself is legal. It's only the thought that you are punishing. And that's the dangerous road that Mueller and the other attorneys were going down. That then you would set, if that ever held up in court, and I don't believe it would have. But if you ever attempt to go down that, then any politician can be involved in anything that is legal, and it's simply if a prosecutor can convince a jury this was his intent.
Right.
That you're going down that road of thought crime on obstruction. And the other one was the bizarre thing about the Trump Tower meeting where they were trying to figure out not whether there was collusion with the Russians or even, as we have heard, has become famous, whether there was the intent to collude with the Russians by simply holding the meeting to get opposition research. And we said they can't be going down that road. There's nothing there. There's no. Well, they weren't. They were looking at campaign finance violations. And I saw that yesterday. I said, what are they talking about? Campaign finance violations? How? Well, they were trying to say that, well, if Trump Jr. thought that he could get some opposition research, that would be of a value to the campaign. And so if he had gotten it and didn't report that he had gotten this information on the
This is just ridiculous. I can't remember why I'm saying this. If he didn't report it on the campaign finance sheets, then it would be a campaign finance violation. But the only thing is, no information was ever given to Trump, so nothing of value was given to the campaign. And even if it was, they wouldn't be able to figure out what the value of it was. So they were unturning every stone possible to try to make a crime.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, effectively, you're trying to, if you're going that far, if you're stretching that far, you're trying to rewrite the law. The one thing that is the takeaway from this, or one of the main things that I take away from this, is the fact that the Mueller team was bound by the law. And I'm convinced now that the reason that we've been here for the better part of 2 years is because they were trying to reach within every little crack and crevice. They were trying to reach into to find something they believed could stick.
It gets back to why we did not believe that there should be a special counsel. We don't believe that the United States is set up to have a prosecutor look at a person because of a generalized allegation and attempt to find what the crime is that you have committed.
Right.
The role of a prosecutor in our system, and if anybody disagrees with me, I'd love to hear that. I don't believe anybody does. That the role of a prosecutor is when a crime is committed, that once the police have the evidence of a person that they believe has committed a crime, it is the prosecutor that then does what? Prosecutes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And here you have a prosecutor that was given, because of the political makeup of our country, that was given a task that had nothing to do with a specific criminal act or any criminal act that anybody could identify at the time that they were appointed.
Right.
Because there was no specific act. That's the danger when you go down the road. Because then I believe that we were right. Since you didn't give that as a mission statement, since it was the generalized collusion or just the general area of go find a crime, well, then you try to find a crime. And when you can't find a crime, they were giving it their utmost effort to find or stretch out to find some kind of crime that would have easily been blown out of court. And so when they really couldn't do it, they said, well, let's just say we'd like to try to charge them, but we won't. We'll give all these different excuses and say we'll give it to the attorney general to decide what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it seems like to me.
Right.
Because the crimes that they were attempting to identify were thought crimes, which isn't against the law. There are no such thing as thought crimes. And I'm not talking about just hate crimes where the thought is part of the crime. You have to have an underlying criminal act to begin with.
Right.
You're right. Yet. Because the California law hasn't been tested yet, has it?
Right.
Or hasn't the New York City humane law that if you don't use a proper gender pronoun, they can fine you $100,000 to $100,000.
Right, because that would be hate speech. So that is a thought crime.
Right,
because it stems from your mindset.
Yes, because it's not like a normal hate crime of a violent act, which is based on that violent act being committed first.
Right, and it adds to the severity, and therefore the punishment
of
a crime.
And a speech crime, maybe if you get into somebody's face, could be threatening. That could be you could expand that to a speech, but a threatening crime. But here we're talking about an intent thought crime, simply the thought behind it that's related to no behavioral action that is illegal.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the part,
just the thought without the action.
And that's the part that stinks.
You want to know the part that stinks? You know, the dirty part of it all? That's the dirty, stinky part of it all. The fact that prosecutors think that way to begin with. Let's find it. Let's try to expand the law. Let's try to find a thought crime. Let's try to expand something and make it into some type of bizarre. Completely and totally bizarre campaign finance violation by trying to figure out, okay, somebody's going to give you a tip on something or give you a clue on this. Okay, technically that's an advantage to your campaign. Therefore, would be a campaign contribution. And so you need to report when you get that. And if you didn't report that you got this tip from this person that could be perceived of having some value as a campaign donation, then you're going to jail. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it's about as frightening as it gets. Imagine that something had happened in that regard. Imagine that they had pursued that. There's a reason they didn't. And you can say to that end, at least, that the system did work because they were, I believe, bound by the letter of the law. They really tried to stretch it. They really wanted to go there, but likely realized it's not going to happen.
But they all went crazy yesterday. Keep going crazy.
Yeah.
Democrats, you want to go down the impeachment road? Right. Go for it.
Yep.
Go for it. And then Republicans, you do what you have to do to find out how this whole pile of doggy do started from the very, very beginning. 866-90-RED-EYE.
At February's end, the U.S. won a significant victory at the World Trade Organization in its dispute with China over its domestic supports of wheat, corn, and rice, limiting U.S. export of those commodities in that market. As U.S. Trade Representative Chief Ag Negotiator Greg Dowd said days before that WTO dispute settlement panel ruling,
when it comes to wheat, rice, and corn, we think China has exceeded what it was allowed to do when it became a member of the WTO by somewhere in the neighborhood of $80, $100 billion.
And on Thursday, a second WTO panel ruling found China has administered its tariff rate quotas for wheat, corn, and rice inconsistently with its World Trade Organization commitments, and in turn denying U.S. export access. A joint USTR-USDA press release on the ruling uses the example that if China fully used its tariff rate quota in 2015, U.S. exports of wheat, corn, and rice for that year would have been as much as $3.5 billion, with a B, dollars to that market. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Yeah, just so people know, because there some listeners quite inquisitive on this, going, what about the campaign finance thing? This from the Wall Street Journal and Kimberly Strassel. Mm-hmm. Mueller's team even considered charging Trump associates who participated in the June 2016 Trump Tower meeting with campaign finance violations for meeting with the Russian lawyer. Was that meeting, quote, a conspiracy to violate the Foreign Contributions Act? Was it the solicitation of an illegal foreign source contribution? Was it the receipt of a, quote, an express or implied promise to make a foreign source contribution? The team considered that the law didn't apply only to money. It could apply to a thing of value until investigators realized it might be hard to prove the promised documents exceeded the $2,000 threshold for a criminal violation, and there was never a conspiracy because a Russian lawyer wasn't there for that reason.
Right. It never happened. It never happened. Here's your forecast.
Well, the start to the weekend is going to see more severe thunderstorms for the south after moving through Texas yesterday. This early morning Friday, we'll see those showers having moved eastward. now in along the border of Georgia and Alabama. And the likelihood of severe weather will extend all the way from the coast up to about Chattanooga. And we can expect a rough day of weather throughout the South today, moving through Macon and Albany, Georgia, into Atlanta later today. By your Saturday, we'll see those showers having moved again eastward and provide a good chance of rain for the Carolinas up through the Delmarva Peninsula and on into New York. However, the likelihood of severe weather will diminish somewhat as those showers, primarily in the east, will be moving through in overnight hours. With the exception of some rain in the state of Washington, the rest of the country west of the Mississippi looks gorgeous today with plenty of high pressure and sunshine. The National Forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
You're listening to Red Eye Radio from the Pilot Flying J Studios. Bonus show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. All right, just a bunch of different audio cuts, okay? Let's play a couple from Adam Schiff. All right, Democrat head of the House Intelligence Committee, who's outright lied to the American people over and over again. Let's see what he had to say yesterday.
The Attorney General did a grave disservice to the country by misrepresenting significant parts of the Mueller report, by attempting to put a positive spin for the president on the special counsel's findings. If the special counsel, as he made clear, had found evidence exonerating the president, he would have said so. He did not. He left that issue to the Congress of the United States, and we will need to consider it.
No, actually, he didn't. He left it to the Attorney General.
Yes.
He didn't leave it to the Congress of the United States. Let's hear from... by the way, why isn't Adam Schiff livid at the special counsel?
Right.
Because he found nothing on collusion.
Adam Schiff has been talking about evidence of collusion for the better part of 2 years now.
Up until a couple of weeks ago, he was talking about that he has seen the evidence of collusion.
Right. Which means that Mueller clearly had evidence of collusion.
Right. How come he's not mad at Mueller for that?
I guess he just got bad information.
Look, none of this makes sense from the Democrat side.
No.
The Democrats are still out there screaming that the president colluded. Now, they're not angry at Mueller, though.
No.
Why aren't they angry at Mueller for the collusion?
Right. Because, okay, one headline, and it just is one that sticks out and applies here, but there are many just like this that circulated yesterday. Politico, all right, left-leaning, Trump claims victory despite damning Mueller details. So they go after Trump's words again. They didn't go after Mueller at Politico. Mueller's damning details. Are you kidding me? No. There is nothing there. And if you believe there's something there, and this is what we're seeing again and again and again, what do we hear from Chris Matthews? Same thing. Make it up as you go along. Where's the outrage against Robert Mueller?
Here it is. Denying reality. ABC's Carl finds collusion in report. Brennan, information on collusion and obstruction is extensive. Why aren't they furious? Why aren't they furious that Mueller didn't go directly to the FISA warrant? Then the FISA application, where the best evidence against Donald Trump colluding with the Russians was there. Let's get to the number one. Let's get to the thing that led to everything that we talked about yesterday, which was the collusion charge. Democrats and the media still claiming collusion exists.
Right.
Mueller says it doesn't. Why aren't they furious? Why aren't they furious at him for not going through the FISA application and making that public, the evidence that exists that Trump colluded with the Russians? That's how they got the FISA warrant.
Where's the outrage? Directed at Mueller. Where's the outrage?
None of it seems to make sense.
It's directed at the Attorney General. Keep in mind, he hasn't been Attorney General the whole time.
No. Well, a lot seem to be focusing just on the obstruction, and then they start, well, collusion's still there. Right. Well, then you ought to be angry at Mueller.
Right.
Why aren't you angry at Mueller? Why aren't you demanding that the president stop procrastinating and release all the information that was on the application for the FISA warrant and all the related emails from everybody in the Department of Justice and the FBI to prove that they were doing the right job and Trump was colluding with the Russians? It's too easy.
There is the most read stories, 1 through 10 at Politico, every one of them on Mueller and Trump. Every one of them. They cannot let it go. There's not going to be, Gary, you can't reverse the energy. You can't. So what do you do? Well, you do what the left has been doing for a long, long time. Deny reality, right? And we knew this was coming. We said it the other day. They're going to try and pick something up out of nothing. The ashes will be there, and they're going to try and form it into an indictment. And that's what they'll do. And that's exactly what they did. They're trying to make it something out of nothing. A big something out of a big nothing. Again and again and again. Because you can't possibly say, well, we were wrong. You're going to look like Brennan. John Brennan, the Monday after Mueller finished, he's on TV going, well, I guess I got bad information.
Well, again, the Democrats still suggesting impeachment. We suggest you go down that road.
Go ahead, please.
Please go down that road.
Please, go ahead. Unite his base. Keep this going.
Do not stop this. Keep screaming for more information, because I think that the Attorney General, that Lindsey Graham, that the Inspector General Michael Horowitz will be delivering you a lot more information, because remember, this was all based on the fact that you still believe that Trump colluded with the Russians. So let's find out all the information that the Democrats and the Obama administration had on Trump in order to start this investigation. Right? Democrats, you all behind us on this?
Yep. Come on.
Go down the impeachment road. Please go down it. Make our day.
Let's go.
Because what we want is full transparency across the board on everything from 2016, and we're getting more of it. And by the way, I know as much as you're screaming you believe you have something, as you've noticed since day one, it's all been moving in one direction. And even yesterday, it continued to move in what direction? And what direction is that? Against Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps moving that way. And it might have been drip, 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 and it's going a little bit faster. The faucet's flowing a little bit faster right now. It's more than just drip, 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 drip.
Yeah.
It's a steady stream right now coming out of that faucet.
Yep.
And pretty soon, the water will go down right into the sink, right into the garbage disposal. We'll turn it on and we'll get rid of all the garbage.
Right into the sewer.
And it goes right into the sewer where it belongs. And then maybe we can put it into the political sewage treatment plant and clean up politics. I like this.
Drain the treatment plant. That doesn't really flow like drain the swamp, does
no,
it?
No, it doesn't.
Not really.
Okay, we took it a little bit too far.
We agree.
We agree. Hold on.
Order! We end the week with a gavel.
Yeah.
By the way, anybody doesn't know, we got a nice listener. I forgot her name.
Sandra.
Sandra sent us two gavels each because we wanted to be like Gerald Nadler.
Yeah, Sandra in Vegas.
Yeah. Thank you, Sandra.
Listening in Vegas.
There you go. I hit my gavel.
Yeah.
I said this yesterday and the day before. I want to see what it's like next Thursday, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to be talking about a week from now?
Well, there's the question.
Will they, as they went absolutely crazy yesterday, they'll go crazy today. What will we be talking about Monday and Tuesday?
Well, because, all right, in order for something to happen, there has to be an event. An event could be, all right, we're going to move toward impeachment.
Oh, please.
Now, they've invited the special counsel, Robert Mueller, former special counsel now, I guess. He's still employed by, someone made that point yesterday, he's still employed right now, as it stands, by the Justice Department, which is interesting. Because would that mean that the Inspector General also has access to the Mueller team's activities?
Wow.
Because they are Justice Department.
They are Justice
employees.
Department. As far as I know, the inspector, unless there's a special counsel exemption from the Inspector General.
I don't know if that exists. I'm not sure. But that's what hit me yesterday. Someone made the point that he is still an employee of the employed by the Justice Department. So yeah, does that fall under the, because I think you have to consider, I would say it would make sense that an inspector general would have access to a special counsel and their team, because wrongdoing, fraud or any wrongdoing, I guess, could happen. They are human. They're not above the law either, right? So I'm just wondering out loud here, but I don't expect anything new in terms of events between now and next week. What was interesting also is that the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, was standing behind the Attorney General yesterday during his statement and while he took questions. One of the headlines that came out in one of the liberal publications, Rod Rosenstein was deadpan during the entire event, and Twitter immediately took notice. Really? That's what you got? The guy had a blank face, and that's what you got out of that?
Let's hear from Sarah Huckabee Sanders from yesterday.
It's a sad day in America when Democrats and members of the liberal media are sad that it didn't happen. To me, that's the most mind-blowing thing of this, that they would actually want someone from their own country to have worked with a foreign government to take down the president and interfere with the election.
The president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, yesterday.
The president has just been determined that the whole issue of collusion with the Russians, both for him, his campaign, anyone in his campaign, even collusion with releasing the information, or conspiracy, or cooperation, is completely untrue.
Yeah. It is, again, the rest of, I guess, what happens, or the rest of the energy will depend on what happens. Where do they go from here? You could see Mueller, I guess, responding to an invitation. I'm guessing Mueller doesn't want to be up there. Mueller does not want to sit in front of them. They didn't subpoena him. They invited him. So, or he may want to come out and defend himself after any backlash. But he's not getting backlash from the left. He's only getting it from the right. So I won't make a prediction, but I think there's certainly some logic to the idea that he would not want to respond, my job is done here, and I've issued my report to the Justice Department, I've served my role, there's nothing else to discuss. Because I can't answer anything outside of the report, the redacted report that has been issued, unless it's behind closed doors.
Can they subpoena him, or can they only subpoena Barr?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know.
I don't, yeah, neither do I.
Because it is, everybody calls this the Mueller report. It may have been, I don't know if it was Molly Hemingway or Kimberly Strassel or somebody else pointed it out yesterday. This isn't the Mueller report. This is a Justice Department report.
Right.
And Barr has the final say. It is, you know, essentially his report.
When we talk about the fact that the majority of Americans don't know about the three branches of government, study that came out that they don't know, have a clue on anything, probably there are Americans that have no idea that the Justice Department is over, you know, was over the Mueller investigation to begin with. They don't even know how the infrastructure works. So that's why they can sit there and scream and go, it's unfair that Barr is there. Well, it's the way that it works.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
What's the difference between standard number 2 diesel and premium fuel? Ron Jessen is director of product management for Cenex, the makers of Cenex Roadmaster XL premium diesel fuel, and he fills us in.
You may want to consider the total operational cost behind the price of the pump. If you look at the cost for replacement and you look at the cost of ongoing maintenance, unfortunately, those costs haven't gone down. They've actually continued to increase. But switching to a premium diesel fuel can really result in some large operational savings with the fuel economy and reducing the equipment repair costs. Our fleet owners, if you want to consider trying a premium diesel fuel in the past, or if you have considered it in the past, now is really the time to take advantage of that with the lower diesel fuel prices to try out that premium diesel fuel.
There are more than 1,450 Cenex locations in 19 states across the Midwest and Pacific Northwest. Visit Cenex.com to find a Cenex location and learn more. This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric, I'm Gary. Well, I see George Conway said Trump is a cancer on the presidency and Congress should remove after the report came out. So him and Kellyanne will probably have a really nice Easter weekend.
Oh, I'm thinking it will be a family weekend with nothing but smiles and blessings. And
I hate to bring in somebody's personal life, you know, into the show, but hey, they brought it to the public, didn't they?
You know, I really do wonder what that is like at
home. I know. Love to be a fly in the wall.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.